Rabbi Brian Mayer returns to Tapestry with a rather astonishing proposal.
What if God were mediocre? I don't mean mediocre that it's kind of like crummy, but maybe God is sad that God can't control everything the way God wants to control everything. The same way I get sad and mad that I can't control everything the way I want to control everything.
The idea of perfecting the self looms large in the world of religion. Today on Tapestry, two people who say perfection overrated. When Nadia Boltz Weber called her church House for All Sinners and Saints, she was giving a nod to something she believes in deeply, that sinners play as big a part as saints do in the whole religion thing. If Pastor Nadia makes room for imperfection in human beings, my next guest goes one step further. Rabbi Brian Mayer says it's entirely possible that the divine isn't so perfect either. Rabbi Brian is the founder of Religion Outside the Box. He's in Portland, Oregon, but most of his congregation is online. And just a heads up, some of the language you hear might be rougher than what you normally find on our program. Welcome back to Tapestry, Rabbi Brian.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Now, when you send out newsletters, you usually sign off with a piece of spiritual religious advice for people. And one of the latest, this one caught my eye, have courage, be mediocre. Tell me what you mean.
Well, the idea is that we all, not only me, need to take it a little easier on ourselves. We don't, that the striving for perfection is killing us. And what if life isn't graded, but it's pass-fail? And what if you pass just by being?
Oh, say that again. What if you pass just by being? So that would be enough. Just to be,
right?
Would be enough.
I mean, it's a crazy idea. I'm not sure I'm going to say that we should all do it, but maybe we could all try it from time to time. We could all just try to, I mean, that's one of the things Judaism really pushes, is the idea of Sabbath, of some time off, of some time to not work and to be.
Do you see this as a spiritual / religious issue? Is this a spiritual thing for you? Tell me about that.
I just heard from a priest by the name of Kevin Yell, who said that all spiritual advice comes from the very opening of the song Singing in the Rain. You know, where it goes, doo-be-doo, doo-doo-be-doo. And he says that's exactly the spiritual advice, is that it's the balance between do and be.
The doobie-doo is the spiritual advice.
Right? And that all of us do, and we do, and we do, and that we tend to think of ourselves as what we've accomplished, what we own, what we think, how clever we are. But it's who we are when we're being, and being in relation to each other and being in relation to the world. I think that's a huge spiritual pursuit for us, is to just to take some time off to be. And people stink at this.
It's not going over so well.
Have you been out?
Yeah, no, I suffer from this. I'm
right.
I'm exhibit
A. I do too. Yeah, that's why I preach it, is I'm preaching to myself. Taking time off is hard. And I guess this is kind of the paradoxical part, is that part of doing it well is having the courage to not do it perfectly.
Well, it's kind of like meditation, right? Like, just get back on the mat, and you're going to stink at it, and
Amen.
You're going to keep stinking at it, and just get back on the mat.
My meditation teacher said, he defines meditation as that which you do while you're meditating. That's where I'm getting at, is that we all have to be able to not be great, and then to try things. I tell the kids at my school when they don't do, oh, I can't do this. I say, you know, it's really funny, because when my son started walking, he walked perfectly the first time. I'm like, really? No, of course not. He fell all the time. Here's the thing. If I gave you something and I said, go on the internet and here's this exercise to do for 5 minutes on the internet, which will help your spiritual religious life, everyone would be like, oh, click, click, let's do it.
Yeah.
And if I say, okay, here's your spiritual religious homework for this week, sit for 5 minutes. No one can find the time for that 5 minutes.
So if you were prescribing homework right now to everybody who's listening, what would it be?
Well, I got two. Okay, so okay, one okay, would be exactly that one, which I'm going to reiterate, which is, okay, everyone, you got 5 minutes off. Try it. Sit in your chair for 5 minutes, and if you stink at it, stink at it. But sit for 5 minutes, and there are no rules to it. Just sit. Okay, and so that would be that homework. But then I have other homework because you asked an open-ended question,
okay,
so I get to answer.
You, go ahead. Knock yourself out. Another bit of homework.
My other bit of homework would be on some night at dinner, I want you, whoever's listening to this, to tell the people you're at dinner with who they are to you. Who they are to you. And it goes back to what I was just saying before about how we think we are our stuff and our thoughts and da da da. But we forget how important we are to each other. And so take the beginning of a dinner on Friday and go around the table and tell everyone, say, I have this goofy homework assignment from Rabbi Brian on the internet, and he was on Tapestry, and I have to do this, so excuse me. But I have to tell everyone who they are to me. And it will change the tenor of dinner. And we won't be talking about the coolest meme you just saw or an app or something, but it really elevates it from just eating to dining and makes it a holy experience.
What's happened at the Mayer household when you've tried this out?
We've been doing it for years.
And what happens?
It used to just be Jane and I who did this. And then we'd have guests over and we'd tell them who they were to us. And then people kind of started inviting themselves over on Friday night. And they go, oh, you're still doing that thing? And it was like, yeah, okay, we'll tell you who you are to us. So I always do it. Jane does it. And now our kids are beginning to do it. And they're 4 and 6. And it's adorable. And I can't tell you how well this spiritual training ends up because my kids are only 4 and 6. But I think what a wonderful thing that they're growing up in a house where at least once a week they're hearing from their parents who they are.
Something you try to do with your project of Religion Outside the Box online, mm-hmm. is to think about and come up with broader definitions of what is divine, you know, so that mm-hmm, if people are retreating from old ways of thought, they don't have to be stuck in that old box. Do you think there's any room for concepts of God as mediocre or imperfect? That's not heresy. That's not sacrilege in your books?
I mean, this is a huge one. But I like it. What if God were mediocre? It's a bizarre concept, but lightning hasn't hit me here yet. One of my best friends died. One of my best friends in the world died in January. And you know, the question why always goes unanswered. And I know, Mary, you've had your losses and how do you deal with it? And if I think about having a cup of coffee with God, right? I'm going to anthropomorphize God in that sense. And that maybe God is upset that Shauna died too. And maybe God, I don't mean mediocre that it's kind of like crummy, but maybe God is sad that God can't control everything the way God wants to control everything. The same way I get sad and mad that I can't control everything the way I want to control everything. And what if God were, I'm going to put some quotes here, what if God were more human like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, if it even says in the beginning of the Torah, it says that we are created in the image of God. I ain't perfect. I make mistakes. I err. Maybe God does too.
Is that I can see that being both a more comforting and a less comforting notion to people, that God might somehow be imperfect. Can you see it sort of hitting both ways?
But here's the thing. Abraham Joshua Heschel, a famous rabbi, wrote a book called God in Search of Man. And if he were writing it nowadays, he would write God in Search of Humanity. Is that maybe God wants more connection. And I feel very strongly with this, but I'm not going to tell you exactly I'm using the word God to mean. But maybe God, however you who's listening understands the word God, maybe that notion of God wants to connect with you more. And that notion of God, I feel a lot of people treat God the way that they treat a guest who they didn't really want to invite to Thanksgiving dinner or to whatever holiday dinner, but they kind of invited because they felt they had to. And then that guest comes but knows that they're not really welcome, but they're kind of there. I think that's the relationship a lot of people have with God, and that God would much rather you say, oh, God, go f*** yourself for my friend's death. Like, and then at least it's real, and that we're recognizing God, and even recognizing being mad at God. And I realize I think I just cursed on Canadian Public Radio, but
I get the passion behind it. I get the sentiments behind it.
Right.
You know, you don't want Shauna to be gone,
right? Or your husband, or someone's dog, or whatever it is, that God wants to have a relationship with us. God, howsoever we understand God. And the only way to have that relationship is to roll up sleeves and to say, you know, that pissed me off. That was wrong. And then listen, wait, hear what the response is. And to further, to deepen, to have that relationship. I'm going to give myself homework for this Friday night.
What's your
this
homework?
This Friday night, when I'm going around the table and telling everyone who they are to me, I'm going to tell God who God is to me this week. I haven't done that one yet.
Is that something you'd share on the radio? Do you know what you'd say?
No, I don't. There's going to be some gratitude. Well, I'll do it right now. Why not?
Yeah.
God, thank you for all the blessings I have, and thank you for being patient with me as I really treated you stinky for a while, and I'm glad that you and I are more buddies now. And I thank you for being my buddy.
I don't want to jump on you. Is there an amen, or is, I don't want to interrupt.
I don't
this.
Know. I've never done this before either.
So here's what's striking: what you just said, which I love, by the way. Thank you for bringing it out on radio. It sounds to me like something you might hear at an evangelical Christian congregation, where, you know, God as buddy is something that exists. I've never heard it from the Jewish tradition, where, you know, God, you can't even spell out the word. It's, you know, G-D. you are meant to be so filled with awe. So how does it come easily for you to say G-D, thanks for being my B-U-D-Y?
Why? Oh, funny. No, I grew up with a very messed up relationship with God, and that was one of the things of being Jewish. And I found there are people who aren't Jewish who have the same relationship, but I always had this notion that, okay, that was something they did. Like, they believed in Jesus, they believed in Santa Claus, they believed in life after death, and they had a personal relationship with God, and we don't do any of those things. But I found out, okay, actually Judaism does have a notion of life after death, and why don't all of us own our own notion of God? And there's this notion, and there are four different categories that God falls into in the Northern Hemisphere, that people see God as authoritarian, benevolent, critical, or distant. Mm. And I like to add in, so A, B, C, D, authoritarian, benevolent, critical, or distant. And I like to add in E, which is everything else. Because the God I believe in on some days doesn't fit into those four. So it's my own understanding of God. And that's why when I write God, I don't do G-D. I always write the God of your understanding.
Yes, I know.
Or the God of my understanding.
And I'm on your website quite a bit. I get your newsletter, and that is the term. It's the God of your understanding. You want to make sure people are quite outside whatever box might have been fencing them in. You're really outside the box with this.
I have my best buddy, who's a retired minister, said, Brian, I always kind of danced on the other side of the line and pushed the box. He said, but Brian, you don't even think there's a line and that there's a box.
And is that friend right? Are you so far out of the box
that
there's no box anymore?
I don't see it anymore, no. No, I don't quite understand all these terms that we come up with Jewish and Christian, and I don't think God plays teams, and that makes any sense to God.
So when I want to get back to this notion of God as being possibly as imperfect as human beings are, or at least having some element of imperfection or mediocrity, do you think when we remove the sacred from the big pedestal that it becomes something more profound or something more close to people? Does the pedestal get in the way?
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of the same way. You ever meet someone who's been your hero?
Yes.
And you just can't even talk when you're with them?
Yep.
It's like, oh, I don't know. I met Dr. Gabor Mate, who's up there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's been on Tapestry.
I couldn't talk when I saw when I was I just couldn't talk. I couldn't say a word to him. And it was that kind of experience.
Does he know this, by the way? I mean, he's a big CBC listener. He might be hearing you right now.
Yes, he and I email. I will email him again. And it was this bizarre moment of it was stifling. I couldn't speak. I think we have that with God, and God doesn't want that. And
so you remove the pedestal, and things become more human. Yeah.
Yeah, which is a weird thing with God, but it's God wants. What God wants is a relationship, and if that pedestal keeps us from seeing God or having a relationship with God. You know, Pope Francis right now, he's getting all this press for that he actually makes his own phone calls and he just calls people.
Yes.
And it throws people off. And he's like, why should it throw people off? I'm just using the phone.
He just called the head of the slow food movement in Italy.
Right?
It was this beautiful conversation. Well, why shouldn't he make his own calls? He's the damn Pope. Nobody expects the Pope to pick up the phone.
Right. I don't think you're supposed to say damn Pope.
Sorry. No, I know. But you started with the swearing.
So I think it's the same way. I think the same way that Pope Francis just wants to be in relationship with people and that he doesn't see that he shouldn't be. I think God's the same way. This is great. Now we have a rabbi using the Pope as a metaphor for God.
It could only be you.
I like that.
I actually teach
at a Catholic school. The school I teach at is a Catholic school. I kind of enjoy that.
That fits in too. So I want you to keep those papal metaphors coming because that just kind of, you know, just makes the
it
whole
makes me, it
sorry,
makes me happy.
It makes me happy too. Listen, it's always so good to speak to you, Rabbi Brian. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you are welcome. And please keep doing all the goodness you're doing in the world and helping us to see spiritual religious stuff not as in a box, but a little bigger than that.
Rabbi Brian Mayer is the man behind Religion Outside the Box. You can find a link to his website at ourscbc.ca/tapestry. Something Rabbi Brian said a minute ago really struck a chord with us. This idea of taking a minute to tell the people around you what they really mean to you. Our colleague Jody Martinson tried it out on the streets of Vancouver.
I'm working for the show Tapestry. And there's a rabbi on that show who thinks that people should, at dinner, instead start the dinner off by saying what they mean to each other. And I wanted to see if I could put you on the spot here and talk to each other and tell her what she means to you.
She's, I'm lost for words. She's a very, very special friend who has been now for going on almost 40 years. I'm 4,000 miles from home. And we have the luxury of having this evening together in Vancouver.
Just one evening together? Wow, I'm catching you at a very special time. What does he mean to you?
Very dear friend from a very long time. Very special person to me.
Wow, and so even though you don't have, your lives don't intersect, you still have this relationship that you've nurtured for all these years.
I'm putting him on a plane in a few days, so we've had a lovely visit.
Well, isn't that nice? And how did it feel to say that here in this noisy street?
Rather strange.
I'll have to give it some thought as I walk down the street. What's going to become of this audio interview?
You're in the car listening to the radio and we'll hear it.
Hi there, can I bother you for just a moment?
Sure. Well, Alicia is my wife. She's the mother of our daughters, and fantastically brilliant woman. Avshin is a friend of mine from France, and I've known him for about 30 years, and we're like brothers. We're very, very close to each other, and he's kind of like my personal advisor as well as one of my best friends.
Basically, he's my brother. You know, whenever I have a difficult situation, I always consult with him.
And we're both Baha'is.
Well, thank you very much. That was terrific. Thank you.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.